I think I feel like I've been at a Baptist convention. There have been four speakers up here and one singer, and I don't know whether to preach or say amen. Now, if it's a Baptist convention, we'd be into our sixth hour by now. So anyway, a few things we need to look at. I wondered how that came out. It didn't come out as well as I thought it would, but it says life and light. Kind of interesting that the theme for our walk this year has to do with life. Let life shine, is that what it is, I think? And so we're going to be talking about light today as we look at dealing with deception. Again, this is like the sixth, I don't know, it's the sixth or seventh time we've looked at this topic and asked the questions, what should we do as we deal with deception? And of course, the first thing we thought about was walk the walk that we've been called to. Everyone has been called to walk the walk if you're a believer in Christ and you've been called to walk the walk, just as Paul told the Colossians, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so, what should we do? We should walk the walk. And we looked at the fact that we should walk in truth, which has to do with God's word, and walking with and in the truth. And you'll notice from last week, I inserted the there on the truth. A lot of people have a lot of different truths, but we walk in the truth. And then we looked at walking in the love. And so today we will go to a different one as we look at some other things about that. And so we looked at verses 1 and 2 in Ephesians chapter 5, and it says there, to walk in love. And so we emphasized that last week, and today we're going to look at this, walk in the light. All these things kind of hook together, as we'll see next Sunday, some, as we come to a conclusion on this dealing with deception and the things we should do. But one of the things we want to talk about today is walking in light. And of course, walking means, in Scripture, means living in light, living in love, living in truth. And so we take it to mean that. It doesn't mean we just take out a walk for truth and then we go home and leave truth out there somewhere. It means we live our lives in truth. We live our lives in His love. We live our lives in the light. And so one of the things that walking in the light is walking in the Word, which we touched on a little bit with walking in truth, but we're going to look a little further into that and see some things that have to do with that. And one of those is, you'll know this verse, I hope you have this one in here, or in here, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Path is something you walk on, isn't it? And God's Word is our light that we walk by. Gives us instructions in life, what to do, where to go, and what to think, and all this that affects all of our life when we walk in light. And so the psalmist was pretty good about that. He says, the entrance of your Word gives light. So if you want to walk in God's light, then you walk in His Word, and you know His Word. It says that it gives understanding to the simple. And so the word light there is not necessarily all the time something that's shining, but it means to have understanding of who God is, what God wants, what His Word says, and to know those things and apply them to our lives as we walk in this world. Walk the walk, I guess. The word entrance there has the idea of opening. It's the opening of His Word that gives light. We walk in that. Psalm 43, verse 3, David wrote a lot about God's Word and light. He says here, oh, send out your light and your truth, and let them lead me. Look where it says, let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Now, he's not talking about something on earth, by the way. He's talking about where God lives in heaven. his throne in heaven, in a sense. That's what David is talking about. So he's saying that your light and your truth lead me to that. And that's exactly where our path leads, isn't it? Our path isn't just a horizontal path like this. It's a path that goes like this and leads us to his throne, even while we're here. And so walking in light is walking in his word. Walking in light is also walking in his armor. How can light and armor go together? Well, if we look at Romans chapter 13, we might see that just a little bit. Paul says to the Romans, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand." 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote this, almost 2,000 years ago, and here we are today. One of the topics we had in the men's fellowship yesterday was scoffers say, "Where's the promise of his coming?" And sometimes we kind of, well, you know, it's been so long and he hasn't come. Maybe he's not going to. Paul says to the Romans, even back then, the night is far away, far spent, and the day is at hand. If you think of eternity as a gorge, that, like here, how many of you have been to the New River Gorge? Probably a lot of us have been over it and seen it and all those things. We know how almost 1,000 feet down like that, or to the Grand Canyon for that matter. And so eternity is kind of like that. It's like a deep canyon that we walk beside. We're ever so close to it. And one of these days, it's going to pop right out in front of us. And so he's saying here that the night's far gone and the day is at hand. It's almost here. "Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." And of course, he's referring to the armor that he lists to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6. So look there for a moment. We're not going to spend a lot of time looking at this as if we were doing a study on the armor. But I want you to see some of the things here. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God." Have you ever noticed that word "whole" when you read that before? It's not just, and here's what happens. Let me give you a little illustration of what happens. So many times we believe the gospel and we put on the helmet of salvation and we don't even know there's any other pieces of armor to put on. But we got that on. I'm going to heaven. My sins are forgiven. Eternity is going to be spent with God. And that's good. That's very good. But Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. If you want to walk in this world and walk in light and walk in safety from deception, you got to put the whole thing on. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And so right here we see the word "wiles." Have you used that word for a while? Any thought? It's not W-H-I-L-E-S, it's W-I-L-E-S. It actually means his method, what he does. As a matter of fact, we get the word "method" from that Greek word "wile," that we translated "wiles" here. And so that you may be able to stand against the methods of the devil. Deception is his method, by the way. Deceit is his method. And so if we have the whole armor on, we're standing safe. Now, you might think, wait a minute, didn't you say we've got to walk? How are we going to stand if we've got to walk? Well, one of the things I've found out in life is you have to stand before you can walk. And so standing is like one of the first things we do as a new Christian. We can stand, although most of the time we stay little babies for a while and we grow and we can finally stand. And so Paul says, stand with the whole armor on. And then verse 12, this is so true today in everything that's going on. It's best not to listen to the news very often. I tune into it once a day to see what's going on in the world so I'll know what to duck from that I won't walk into. But a lot of it is nasty stuff that's going on. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood," that is against people, human beings necessarily, "but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, let me bring that out where we can understand it a little bit without thinking there's unseen beings all around us. By the way, there is. but not to focus on that so much. Thing that you see out here in society, whether it be economics, politics, or whatever it might be, the principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age are mostly behind that. Now, we think some of the things that are going on politically today are human beings acting terribly. Well, they are that. But there are powers behind them that want to accomplish something, and they use people who do not belong to Christ to accomplish that. We, this time of the year, emphasize the walk for life and saving babies from death before they're born. And we emphasize that because the world emphasizes something else. And you can be guaranteed that behind everybody who supports abortion is principalities and powers and the evilness that rules the darkness of this world, every one of them. And so my advice would be, don't vote for them. And so there's a battle going on, and we're supposed to be prepared with having the armor on. And then he says here in verse 13, by the way, I could have dwelled on that other verse for the next 3 or 4 hours, so we'll do that some other time. Therefore, again, he says, take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Have you ever seen little kids when they are just learning to walk or stand, and they try to walk? What happens the first time usually? Maybe the second and third and fourth time too. They fall down, don't they? Paul is advising us here, God is giving us information that if we put on the whole armor of God so we can stand and not fall against the evil that's in this world. Some of the things that God calls evil in this world, the world doesn't call evil, do they? Matter of fact, the world promotes some of these things. Alan read from Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways, neither is my word your word. Well, what you do, my ways, in some sense, as a world. And so we have to be very informed and understand what's going on in the world today. And so he says we do that, put the whole armor on, that we may be able to withstand in that evil day. And then verses 14 and 15. So he says, then stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. We talked a little bit about that a couple weeks ago, about walking in truth, but truth is the first thing that we see in becoming a Christian. We hear the truth of the gospel, and God pierces our hearts with that, and we respond in repentance and faith and believe that Jesus died for us. And we prove that by being baptized. We haven't put water in our baptistry for a while. We maybe need just to fill it up and go out and shake the bushes a little bit somehow. Having girded your waist with truth, that's the belt that the Roman soldier would put on and fasten everything else to that. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, righteousness is pretty good because we put it on because we have the righteousness of Christ. Not our own righteousness, which is self-righteousness, by the way, but the righteousness of Christ that God has given to us. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that is, as we walk, we share the gospel in some form, fashion, or way in our lives as a church and as individuals too. And so there's three pieces of the armor, that of the whole armor, that we're supposed to be clothed with. 16 and 17. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Fiery darts, by the way, are the deceptions that come our way, the deceit that comes our way. Behind every lie and every deceit that's told, whether it be whatever it be, economics, politics, life in general, behind every lie is the deceit of Satan. Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning, didn't he? He's the liar and father of lies, and the first thing he did was tell Eve a lie. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Six items there that we're told we ought to have on that'll make a stand against the methods of the devil, the methods of deceit in the world that come, and from every direction. Some people count the next one part of the armor, but it's not. It's a result of having the armor on. Verse 18 in Ephesians 6. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. By the way, and I've said this 100 times probably, the word praying there doesn't mean asking all the time. It means worship. We approach him with a worshipful heart and attitude, or he doesn't hear us. And so it has the idea of worship as we pray. And the word supplication there has the idea of submitting ourselves to him and asking. If we don't submit ourselves to him and we just ask all the time, that's not prayer. We worship him and we submit to him, and then we can ask what we want. And that's not something that we just do. If I could kneel down, I'd show you, but I can't do that anymore. And it's just not something that we do then. It's life that we live. That's why Paul could write elsewhere, or here even too, praying always, because we can worship and honor him always with our life. Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. One of the indications there is we should be praying for one another. That's one of the ways we love one another, is to pray for one another and persevere to that. I didn't put the next verse on that, but the very first phrase of the next verse there, verse 19, is, and for me also, Paul would write. And he was in prison, by the way, when he wrote this again. So back in Romans chapter 13, he says there then, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. And he's telling us, don't walk that way. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So the idea there, the armor that Paul says we should have on, is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Next week we're going to talk about how that happens. Just to give you, just to drop a little, as Ward said, an advertisement, commercial for next week. We're going to see a little bit more about how that happens, but that's putting on the armor. The armor of light is Jesus, and every one of those six things that we talked about is part of his ministry and influence to our lives. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke this to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He goes a little bit into what that light really is. It's eternal life. It's his life. By the way, just to give you another hint, the Christian life is this, very small phrase, is letting Jesus live his life through you. He's already in us. The Christian life is him living out his life through us. It's not us trying to do all we can for him. It's not us dreaming up something to do for him. It's his life through us. We'll see that next week, how that works. And so as we walk in light, it's his life that we're walking in. It's his truth that we're walking in. It's his love that we're walking in. Is walking in his light. Kind of goes along with the theme for the walk for life, doesn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for a few verses as we find our way to the end of this one today. A few more verses. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. That is, people who are lost and are on their way to hell and God's judgment is upon them. The gospel is hidden from them in a sense. Have you ever just sat down with a lost person who had no interest in salvation and tried to talk to them? There's one incident that keeps coming up in my mind. Years ago, I was down in Florida with some friends of ours, and we stopped by, I can't remember how it was because it's been a long time ago, we stopped by a person's house that lived there. Well, it was a trailer, actually, that they lived in down there in the wintertime, and they were a member of the church we were at the rest of the year, but they lived down there, and her neighbor was the person that I'm talking about. Candy doesn't remember. I can see by her face she doesn't remember. And the other pastor that was with me, and that was back when I was a little bit more forceful in speaking to people. I've learned sometimes not to do that. It's like knocking on doors. Have you ever walked up to some house you didn't know anybody in there, knocked on the door, and when they answered the door, said, "If you die tonight, do you know you're going to heaven?" Have you ever done that? I challenge you to try that sometime. You don't want to? 40 years ago, you could get by with that a little bit. Today, you'd probably get shot. I'm not sure what would happen. But people do that still today, and it's okay. Some of you listen to Todd Friel. I think he does that. That's the only thing he knows how to do, I think. No, that's not true. But even if our gospel is veiled, and this guy that we were trying to talk to was like this, nothing sunk in. He always had an excuse or an argument against what we were trying to present to him. I don't think it was our attitude. The other guy was a little bit more forceful than me. He was younger than me at the time, too, so I don't know. But there's no understanding there. And, of course, we understand that. Those of us who know Christ, that's the way lost people are. There's no understanding there till God pierces their heart. Didn't happen that day, by the way. That was a long time ago, 40-some years ago. Verse 4, whose mind the God of this age has blinded. That's why people don't understand the gospel. That's why if you know a lost person that's like that, you need to pray that God would remove the blindness from their heart. Because that's what's going on. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Did you get that about the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ? Verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. That's what Paul was saying. We're slaves to Christ in preaching the gospel, not ourselves. And verse 6 says this, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. This is what he's talking about in creation on Genesis 1. Let there be light. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That means he's saying God has shown his light into our hearts. That's what happens when you become a Christian, when you believe the gospel. By the way, did you notice that last phrase, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? We haven't seen him, but one of these days we will see him face to face. And you remember when he took Peter, James, and John up onto the mount in Matthew chapter 17, and he was transfigured or changed before them, and it says there that his face shone like the sun in brightness. And his clothes became white as light. That's the light that we get to walk in, by the way, even now. Now, I know, I don't have to put my sunglasses on in here because y'all aren't, I said you all aren't very bright, but I didn't mean that. Don't take it that way. You're not shining everywhere and lighting up the place. But God sees us as lights walking around. And he sees the world that way too. Have you ever seen a picture of the globe at night? Somebody has come up with the, and it's all flat like this. Like, I think there were flat earthers that made this one. But it's a picture of what the world would look like at night. And there's lights every once in a while. And there's cities and things like that. It's not us. But when God looks at the earth, he sees the light of Christ in you and you and you and you and you and you and you. And he sees that. He knows that. And I think it maybe lately has become a little dim in our world, especially in our society here. It's become a little dim. And so he says, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Wonderful. We have that light, believers, that we can walk in. One more thing. One more principle of walking in the light. Walking in the light is walking in fellowship. And the verses we're going to use, you know them, but it is an indication of how we walk in Christ and the fellowship we have with him and, as you'll see, with each other. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That's why there's no sun in heaven. Did you know that? No moon either, because the light of God lightens the whole place up. I don't know how that's going to happen. You suppose we'll have to have sunglasses there because it's so bright? I think we'll be given eyes that will be able to see that then, and not have bifocals either, probably. In him is no darkness at all. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, with Christ, with God, and walk in darkness. Now, one of the things you need to see here is the word walk there means to continually walk in darkness. That's our life. And there are degrees that people walk in darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So we don't walk in the light or walk in the truth. And the word practice there means to continually practice. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, and there again it's the idea, if we continually walk in the light, it's in Greek, it's present tense active voice, which means something that goes on continually. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, and there's another verb there, have, and that is a present active voice. It means continually have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, continually cleanses us from all of our sins. That's a description of who a Christian is, by the way. They don't walk in the darkness continually. They walk in the light continually, and they have continual fellowship with Christ and with each other. It's terrible to see brothers and sisters in a local congregation fighting and backstabbing. And if you don't believe it goes on, try some Baptist churches around, or a Methodist church, or Lutheran church, or whatever you want to. It happens too many times. Over the years, 30 years that I know of, people outside this church have said amazingly how much we love one another. It's a picture to the community outside. You may not hear it all the time, but it's out there, and it should be. And so it says there that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have continual fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ continually cleanses us from our sin. You know what? I've gotten in the habit of not asking for forgiveness of sins. You know what I do? Thank you, Lord, for forgiving my sins, because he has, past, present, and future. So, walking in the light is walking in the Word, walking in the armor, and walking in fellowship with God and each other. What an amazing life that God has given to us in this world. Guess what's coming next? It's not our best life now, but it's our best life there. And in some aspects, everything that comes to us comes through what God allows in our lives as we walk with Him and as we handle those things by walking with Him. So, the only thing that show up on the screen there is life and light that you can read. It was actually John chapter 1. In Him was life, and the life was the light of the world, is what it says. Let's pray. Would you bow with me? Father, this morning, once again, as we've looked at Your Word, we see how we are to walk, and to walk in the light that You give to us, the understanding of who You are and what You have for us and what Your Word says, to walk in fellowship with You, to walk clothed with the armor that You've given to us, and to walk the walk so that we might please You in all that we do. Might it be so, Father, in our lives today, in Jesus' name, and amen.